Welcome back to Alphabet Scoop. This is episode 39, and I guess for a little bit of housekeeping, first of all, we can talk a little bit about kind of just how the show has gone. I mean, we're almost episode 40, so I don't know. Time flies. It's crazy to think that we've been doing this for 40 weeks. But one thing I wanted to address before the show, and something I mentioned on Twitter last week, is that we're really trying to work on the sound quality of this. At first, we were just recording this. We weren't even doing a YouTube live stream, and I think it sounded better then, and then we started doing YouTube live stream, and I started getting lazy, I guess, and just started pulling the audio from the YouTube stream and using that for our audio. But starting this week, we're going to start recording again separately in QuickTime, each of us on our independent machines, and then we're going to mesh those together in GarageBand or whatever and put the upload up. So hopefully, long story short, the audio quality should be better going forward if you're one of those that are listening to the weekly audio podcasts on the various platforms. Although I guess the 20 or so people that are listening right now are not those people because they're live and they're listening on YouTube. So that's mostly for those. But how are you? How's the week been?
That's how I feel about this week. Just vagueness, vague.
Yeah, it's been a little bit slow in the wake of CES, but, you know, it is what it is. It's been not as slow as some years past. I feel like some years, January's been, like, dreadful.
Yeah, things have been happening.
Like, yeah.
Things that are important to us are happening.
Yeah, things that are important to us and little tidbits here and there that we're digging up, too, that we may not have been doing in the years past. Like, Kyle's been finding things here and there in the Android open source project and Chromium repository and stuff like that. So, you know, we've been digging up little bits and stories here and there that you know, we would normally wouldn't have had. So shout out to Kyle for awesome work in that department.
Hey.
But I guess, first of all, this week, we can talk about Hangouts because...
Yes, this is going to be fun.
Yes, it will be fun. Many, many people are well aware of my report that went out last month. It was basically headlined, Google's Killing Hangouts in 2020. And, you know, it got reblogged. A lot of people kind of just, I don't know, maybe didn't understand that I was trying to refer specifically to the Hangouts that we all know and we use, which Google, I guess, after my report, started calling Hangouts Classic for some reason. I guess they just needed to differentiate between what is old Hangouts and what is new Meet and Chat, or Chat and Meet. So anyways, this week, kind of in the wake of my story last month, Google, for the first time, came out and said, well, I guess last month they did kind of... like imply that I was right and that Hangouts Classic or old Hangouts was indeed going to be killed in 2020. But this week, for the very first time, they detailed the initial kind of timeline for the turn down / wind down / retirement. Google used the word retirement in their G Suite
blog
post. They used
sunset. I was waiting for the word sunset. That's my favorite.
Yeah, that's a good word. Sunset is a good word. But yeah, they use the word retirement to refer to the closure of Hangouts Classic for, specifically, G Suite users. So they're not yet detailing what's going to happen with consumers. They kind of alluded to it because they knew they kind of had to, I think. I don't think they were going to be able to come out and make this blog post about what's going on with Hangouts Classic for G Suite without mentioning a little bit of what's going on the consumer side of things. But long story short, they are going to, starting April 16th, some changes are happening that G Suite admins need to be aware of on the back end side of things. Those listening to this podcast probably don't really need to know the details of those. Maybe we can touch on them in a little bit in a second. But after that, they're going to add features. They've come out and said they're adding lots and lots of features to Hangouts Chat that people may be used to using, G Suite users specifically, maybe used to using in Classic Hangouts. And then in October 2019, that begins the official retirement of Classic Hangouts. So that's the, I don't know, 2-minute version of of what they announced this week.
So there's the consumer stuff, and of course there's the enterprise stuff. I think this audience cares more about the consumer angle. And to that end, we are getting new features like the ability to make Google Voice, improved video calling, chatting with people outside of your organization. So basically, reaching anybody with just your email address. And I think most important for people who like old Hangouts is having it right there in Gmail on the web for people who prefer it like that. So all these features are coming to Hangouts Chat, but it very much seems like a concession for Google to satisfy all those old Hangouts users rather than having a clear, concise strategy going forward.
Yeah, Hangouts Chat is a weird story because at first it seemed very clear that kind of their plan was to take on Slack and to take on, you know, the hip chats of the world. rest in peace. but, you know, like that seemed to be like what they were doing, or at least that was their goal. And as far as I've heard, actually, that was, and I mean, I'm just, this is hearsay, so I hope no one like reports this as fact, but what I've heard in terms of rumors is that was the plan, that yeah. Hangouts Chat was,
they should
primarily
that.
yeah and it was like that's what it was. The Hangouts Chat was not going to be some kind of like zombie version of old Hangouts and also trying to take on Slack with some kind of workplace chat system or whatever, which is what it's kind of turned out to be. Not that that's bad necessarily,
it's not
bad, but you know, as far as I've heard, a lot of the Hangouts Chat team didn't even know that the plan was to port over old features from old Hangouts until my report about old Hangouts being shut down and Scott Johnston's huge episode, I guess you could call it, on Twitter. So yeah, it's just fascinating that what we've heard is that a lot of people internally who are working on Hangouts Chat and working on new features, and we all know that promotions at Google are heavily based on launching new products and launching new features and stuff. That's just how it works at Google. And so I've heard that there are a lot of people at Google who are kind of peeved at this because porting over old functionality and being in charge of porting over old features from old Hangouts into Hangouts Chat is not exactly very helpful for those that are wanting to move up the ranks. And a lot of people, some people, I don't know how many, but some people, some mid-level product people, were, in charge of building out new Slack competing type features for Hangouts Chat this year and are now kind of being put on the back burner for a while as they kind of, it seems like, just do damage control with this whole situation.
Yeah. The turnaround time on your report and then learning that Google establishing the timeline is quite fast. It's a month, maybe less than a month. So this, again, seems reactionary versus this being the original plan moving forward. That's how it seems from the outside anyways.
Yeah, and I don't understand, honestly. I mean, my thought on this, I don't see how Google could have thought that this would go well at all, no matter what. I mean, if it was me reporting it last month or someone reporting it next month, I mean, I don't see how they went this long without making some kind of formal announcement or plan for what would happen with Classic Hangouts. That is because and this is something I've mentioned on Twitter many, many times, is that not only is, technically speaking, the old Hangouts product being killed, like that's technically true. Whether or not features are being ported over to Hangouts Chat and whether or not Hangouts Chat ever even reaches 100% feature parity and people don't even notice that the transition happened,
it's technically the most true. Ideal case.
Well, yeah, that's the most ideal case. It's still technically true that the old Hangouts is being killed. And another layer of that, which I feel like a lot of people aren't talking about, is that for, 2 years, Google has placed Duo and Allo and now Messages in the wake of Allo's death as the center of their consumer messaging strategy. They have done that, and they've let Hangouts exist in the background, continue to be used by way more people than ever used Allo, and they never outlined any kind of plan for deprecation or any kind of vision for what would happen to those people. And then not only that, they ended up killing Allo too, as I also reported last month, which then caused Google to kind of have to address that as well. Which, you know, the way they addressed that was 6 hours after my report, they announced officially that, yes, it was completely being thrown in the grave.
In fairness, nobody really cared about that one.
Yeah, yeah, no one really cared about Allo. But anyways, my point is that, you know, Google had never set a plan for this, and my report came out in December, what, a year, 2 years after they very clearly were moving away from Hangouts as a consumer-facing messaging platform. So I was very, very late to the game, in my in my view. I mean, who knows? Yeah, like, they could have had, you know, I mean, if they at Google I.O. 2016, they came out and talked about Allo being the next, you know, big messaging platform from Google, and it had all these tie-ins with Google Assistant, et cetera, et cetera. Like, they sent a message that day, like, more than 2 years ago, going on 3 years ago, that Hangouts was now old news, that Allo was the new hotness, basically. And they didn't address, I mean, Hangouts just sat and just sat in the background, just sat in its sad little corner.
I'm with,
and had no development, by the way.
Yeah,
I mean, no. The app for mobile devices didn't see a single update outside of security stuff, and, you know, yeah. I don't know. Anyways,
so okay, so speaking more broadly, I'm glad we're getting Hangouts. Classic Hangout features are coming to Hangouts chat, but in the very long run, I don't think Classic Hangout should be dying yet, because you can't get most people, you can't get average people to jump to a Slack competitor. It makes sense only in business and enterprise and company organizations, but the average person just wants to reach to another person, wants to reach their contacts. And again, for many people, they are familiar with the idea of using an email address as the identifier. This is going back to, like, Google Chats, GChat, and all those early days of Google when they had the read. And this idea of communicating with somebody's email address, it's so basic, it's so simple. But what we're having now is this complex team-based organization system for people that just want to talk, just to communicate. And I think this is an oversight that, I don't know, 5 years out, we're going to end up with Google just going back and doing Google Chat as they should have in the first place. Because something so simple as being able to reach somebody by knowing their email address, instant messaging, should be so straightforward.
Yeah, it almost seems like they thought Allo was going to blow up. Like, it almost seems like they were optimistic about everyone who is using Hangouts as, like, consumer messaging, like, Google offering consumer messaging would just magically move over to Allo, which we know never reached feature parity and never had the ability to message other people via their email address. You know, like, it was a very kind of, it was a phone number based product, and, you know,
a phone number based product requiring a mobile device,
right? Which is fine in my opinion, because if that's the direction that messaging is moving anyway, then it's good for Google to, you know, adopt that. But meanwhile, there are tens of millions of Hangouts users who were just like Hangouts was like this, like, it was Walking Dead. Like, people continued to use it for years.
Yeah, because
people still use it today. It's a good product with a lot of usage.
It does not need new features. It's communication is not hard. It doesn't have to be.
Think about this. If when Allo launched, if they had also at the same time said, everyone using Hangouts, don't worry, we're bringing all the Hangouts features to Hangouts chat, and Hangouts will live on as it exists in a new product, wouldn't that have even more cannibalized Allo's adoption?
Yes, nobody and that, and that Allo.
Right, that's what I'm saying, is it seems like, you know, having mixed priorities caused them to send a message that Allo was the was the successor, right? Accidentally, they sent the message that Allo was the successor to Hangouts. That didn't work out, obviously. And then they're now having to
backtrack. Yeah,
they're basically having to backtrack and say, okay, wait, we don't want to lose these however many tens of millions of Hangouts users. We're just going to shove you all into this new other product that was not originally intended to be for this, basically. You know, it's a shame. It's a shame what happened here. But I don't know. I think Google could have handled it far better. They could have seen that Allo was DOA within, like, I don't know, 3 to 6 months, and they could have shut it down, and then they could have announced this a year ago. And it would have avoided all of this.
Can I give you my dream scenario of what happens next?
What's your dream scenario?
So, my dream scenario involves all this kerfuffle in December not happening, and Hangouts just remaining in the background for the next 3 years. And then, by the fourth year, people... So basically, I want a Google Voice scenario to happen, in which Google remembers that they own Hangouts and start investing efforts into it, and just like redesigning it like they did with Google Voice, which is now a good product, which has found a place at the company. So basically, I think Hangouts will allow it to continue for onwards for a few more years with nothing happening. I think Google would have one day come back to it and just decide to improve on the original core concept, which is still good.
Yeah. My dream scenario is that RCS is just awesome and it fixes all of this problem. And that Hangouts Chat goes on to be a viable enterprise product. And okay. I don't know. It's weird the way they're positioning Chat and Meet, because originally, it was like, you know, this is an enterprise product.
Yes.
And now it's like, this is an enterprise product, but just like all of our other enterprise products, we will also be offering it to consumers,
yeah,
which is fine.
The problem with G Suite organization in the first place, because everything can be a consumer, everything is a consumer product. And Google never got that messaging. They just kept going, and it just happened to work out for them until this confusing thing happens.
Yeah.
Also, can I pitch you on Gmail Chat? That's a
Well, I mean, isn't that basically what Hangouts was?
Yeah. Again, I mean, email based. I can't stop.
I mean, it sounds like they're pivoting Chat to be Gmail Chat. I mean, it seems like they're pivoting Hangouts Chat to basically be that. I mean, they're porting everyone's old Hangouts stuff over to Hangouts Chat, and they're giving it Gmail integration. And it's like, I don't know.
That's confusing.
Meanwhile, another layer of this that Google's really, really upset with is that all of the headlines say Hangouts is dead. So the other layer of this is a very significant branding problem, because all the headlines technically, and they're all technically true, and there's nothing that will stop a clicky headline from being published on every tech blog in the whole on the whole web. Nothing will stop that. It's technically true to say that Hangouts, a.k.a. Hangouts Classic, which Google is now calling it, a.k.a. the app we've been using for 5 years, a.k.a. the app we've been using really for like 10 years, technically speaking, is being killed. And Hangouts Chat and Hangouts Meet are replacing it, obviously. Good on Google for finally detailing that. But all these headlines say Hangouts is being killed. And meanwhile, Google is really trying to make inroads with these enterprise products. And, you know, it doesn't look good when you're trying to sell huge organizations, maybe multi-million dollar deals, getting people to use Hangouts Chat and Hangouts Meet, when every single headline is the Google meme of Hangouts is being killed, Google kills everything, don't invest in Google because they're just going to pull the rug under you at some point. Which... I feel a little bit bad, honestly. I feel a little bit bad for Hangouts Chat and Hangouts Meet teams because they put themselves in this situation, kind of. But at the same time, the meme is not really a meme. It's true. I mean, there's an entire website called the Google Graveyard. You can go look it up. It's a new fan site that's popped up recently. And it lists out every single product that Google seemed to be, I don't know, pushing really hard at first and then just killed. And so it's not exactly false. The narrative, you know, it's true that Google does not stick it out with these products. And, you know, it's partly an organizational thing, like I described, with the way promotions were handled. And it's partly, I think, just move fast and break things.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. Do you feel bad?
No, not really. because that, I'll repeat it until my dying breath, but email-based communication should be more of a thing. Email-based identifier. So, no, I don't feel bad because they're going in the wrong direction, and I might be completely wrong, but I think they're coming back to email-based identifiers in the future. Like, I guess with knowing what we know with Allo, do you think RCS will be successful?
Yeah, I think so. I think it will. I think that it'll be successful not because of Google, but because it's just going to be an industry standard, and standards tend to do well. I think it really will be an industry standard, and so I think it's kind of inevitable at this point.
Mm-hmm.
The question becomes when and how does Apple adopt it? I think they will. I just see it as, I try to keep a very simplistic view on this, and I see it as this is the SMS successor, which should have been here 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Google is just one of many, many parties that will benefit from that. Finally happening.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it will be successful in the sense that Google, just like everyone else, will finally have a viable alternative to iMessage for those who don't have iMessage, with the exception of encryption and the exception of all the features that Apple can build on top of its first-party proprietary software. Apple still has an advantage in this, but finally, what, 5 years later, 10 years later, you know, it's going to happen.
But for everyone, Google wants something. Do they want something boring that everybody uses, or do they want to be popular in communication? For example, historically, when with Facebook, we saw Google Plus chasing Facebook, and that ended horribly and is continuing to end horribly. Google Plus didn't work, then Google isn't a social company. Now, we're seeing Google trying to pursue social again from the lens of messaging. So they don't have a good track record. It doesn't seem that they know what consumers want. Maybe they know what businesses want, and that'll be successful. But the idea of Google and social and Google and messaging being successful is not, and like actually thriving at it, doesn't seem, I'm not giving them the benefit of the doubt, let's say, with RCS.
Yeah, I think RCS will be fine, but I think it will leave Google in a position where
it doesn't control
they
it.
Don't, yeah, and they don't control it, and they don't really have. I mean, they at one point, I mean, they basically squandered their messaging lead. That's yes. Basically the end result.
Is yes.
They at one point were the...
Everybody used GChat. Everybody used Google Chat, and then they decided to do a unified Hangouts thing, and it's been downhill from there.
Yeah, now it's going to be Google with RCS, which everyone will have RCS, and
in the West,
and you know, WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger and iMessage, all these other first party offerings will dominate.
Yeah.
I really liked Dieter's piece on the moral case for Android getting iMessage.
Yes.
Earlier this month.
That's the yes. And
I agree with him to say that I don't think it'll ever happen, but I also agree with him to say that I think it would be consistent of Apple to do it. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. That's kind of a separate conversation. But I think we can move on. We spent a half an hour ranting about Hangouts and that situation. It's an interesting thing. It's still developing. The consumer, I guess we can wrap this up by saying the consumer side of things, Google did touch on But all they said was that the consumer side Hangouts Classic will be winding down after G Suite is wound down. And that begins to happen in October. So it sounds to me that G Suite, we probably say that G Suite will be, Classic Hangouts will be wound out down by the end of the year. And then, just like my report said, 2020 seems to be the year. I don't know when in 2020, but 2020 seems to be the year that winding down for Classic Hangouts for consumers will start. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see how that goes. Anyways, next up today, I think we should talk a little bit about... should we go to Fuchsia or Wear OS? Let's do Wear OS. Yeah. Let's round it out with Fuchsia. So Wear OS this week was, I don't know, one of those headlines that immediately catches your eye and you're like, this is a big deal. And then you look a little closer and it's a tiny thing. A big deal.
So yeah, I think this was last week actually, after we podcasted, but Fossil announced that it is selling a wearable technology and the R&D staff associated with that to Google for $40 million. This deal was announced in a press release. It was after CES for whatever reason. And from what we've been able to learn, that this technology comes from Misfit. This is a company that the Fossil Group bought in 2015, I believe. And they're known for health and sensors and that kind of thing. But beyond that, we really do not know what this technology entails, what exactly Google bought. But whatever it is, Fossil has said that they're going to put it in their Wear OS devices moving forward. It's going to offer a compelling feature that does not exist already in the marketplace. And that Google, after buying it, will be able to give it to all companies in the wearable industry, presumably other Wear OS partners. So that's a state of play for this news.
Yeah, I think the initial takeaway from the headline was that Google was buying Fossil's entire Wear OS division. That was kind of what I thought. But I thought, I mean, obviously, I don't know, that doesn't really make sense.
And $40 million considering... is not that much.
Yeah, $40 million is not much money. It's not really at all like the HTC deal where it was like Google acquiring their entire engineering staff. You know, it's nothing like that.
It's just a team.
Yeah, and the press release actually was very, very light on details. It was very vague on what exactly it was that they're acquiring. It sounds like this was basically just Google buying a bunch of patents. Or maybe, you know,
Fossil
to
says
be...
there is some physical technology that exists. That was transferred over.
But like you said, the plan is for this. You know, apparently Google, or this is what they say. Who knows what the truth is? We never know the truth. But Google says that, you know, the point is that they saw this technology, they were blown away by it, they had. Couldn't let it go, and they said that it needed to be on every. They basically wanted it to permeate the Wear OS ecosystem. By buying it, which is interesting, and another light that's interesting because I think another thing was that a lot of people took this headline and immediately thought Pixel Watch, and it turns out this is not related. It doesn't seem related at all.
To be very cynical, I think Google just spent $40 million so that they themselves could use it in their own watch.
You think so?
Okay, because all the Wear OS watches, 14 brands or something, are made by Fossil. The only other partner that isn't included in the Fossil group is like Movi, I think Casio, Polar, like these really small brands. But everybody else is the Fossil group, and they could...
And LG.
Oh yes, LG. Oh yes.
I mean, they're kind of, I don't know, dormant. But technically still LG. Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe Samsung will come back one day from the cold. But anyways, that's what I. Honestly, I think they bought it because they want it themselves, rather than doing it for the ecosystem. Because there's not, if Fossil were to When Fossil puts this on its own brand of watches, it will be available to most people. Most people buying Wear OS watches will get to experience whatever technology this is. So that's my cynical take, that it is for the Pixel Watch.
So the big question.
What is it?
What's your top three guesses on what this technology is?
So I'll give you mine. So, again, Misfit's background is health and wearables. So I think it's some kind of super advanced tracking based on sensors. I don't know. Maybe some new sensor fusion technology. Two, a new kind of interaction method. But I don't know. Maybe like a dial or something. But again, Google has Project Sori, so who knows. And three is some kind of like continuous power generation from body heat or something like that. Or like, you know, like how mechanical watches, they wind up by themselves. Maybe there's some kind of digital equivalent that can generate enough power for smart watches. Maybe it's solar panels, I don't know. That's my three.
I think health related would be my number one.
Yeah.
My number two, so one of the things that stuck out to me, and this is assuming that your theory is false, which is that this isn't necessarily for Google's watch, but is we're taking Google at its word and saying that they want this technology so that they can let everyone have it, basically. And that would be battery related. Yeah. So like, I don't know what, but I mean, you know, if you think about it through the lens of it being something they would want everyone to be able to use, some kind of very specific, like, glucose monitor or, you know, I don't know, something like that would not necessarily make sense, because a lot of these fashion brands, which is almost all of the Wear OS, you know, companies, brands right now, they would not care necessarily for something super niche like that. So, I would think that it's somehow related to, like you're saying, like, I don't know, body heat or some kind of some battery or power related thing. I also thought this is a thought. I mean, maybe, I don't know. I thought maybe it's some kind of chip or something.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this the SoCs on. Or maybe not a chip, but some technology related to a chip, because the SoCs are completely stagnated right now with Qualcomm. So Google might be looking for a way out on that.
It'd be impressive if Fossil secretly had a chip, a silicon group. That'd be...
Yeah, no, I don't think... I'm not really saying that that's the case, because that sounds pretty far-fetched. But, you know, there could be some kind of technology that's somehow related that...
Yeah.
They would want
going back to
I mean, because one thing to remember is that Google itself does have a silicon group.
Yes.
So, you know, Google could see, okay, we have this piece, Fossil or Misfit or whatever has this piece, and together we can build something. I don't know. That's just a stretch, but it's an idea.
And going back to the $40 million price for like a battery breakthrough, which everybody's chasing right now because that's the real limiting factor of all of today's gadgets, $40 million is cheap. It's not a lot in the grand scheme of things. So maybe it isn't that. But yeah, health goes back to the most likely candidate.
Yep. What else in Wear OS this week?
What else in Wear OS? Not much. Louis Vuitton announced a very expensive watch, which I did not even bother to put in the rundown because that's how expensive it is, presumably. They announced the watch. Our Ben Schoen put up his Fossil Sport review, which is probably the watch everybody should be buying at this point if they want Wear OS and want to give it another chance. It's going to be the Fossil Sport is going to be very interesting when Android Pi comes out and when all these battery saving features are in effect and Google starts taking advantage of Qualcomm's latest features. So that will be a very exciting review and basically an entirely new experience for owners of that watch when it becomes available. So that's a promising thing to work towards.
All right. Well, I think that pretty much wraps it up for Wear OS. we'll hopefully see some developments relating to Wear OS in the coming months.
Yep.
Something that makes the operating system itself a little bit more compelling. I guess the final big story for the week, our third headline, some things that were happening in the last few days. I think, first of all, we should start off with something that happened, I think, MLK Day, Monday. It turns out that some indie developer, basically submitted a code change to Fuchsia's Garrett with support, very, very, very basic support, basically booting the Fuchsia kernel on the Pixel 3 XL. So, you know, we've been tracking lots of different devices on that we know for a fact that Google was testing Fuchsia with, one of which, codenamed Clio, we dug up strong evidence to suggest that this could be the Lenovo smart clock that Google announced, or not Google, but Lenovo announced at CES. Same system on a chip, some other things that kind of led Kyle to believe that, which is interesting because this would be, as far as we know, this, I don't know, one of many confirmed devices that we know are actual consumer products on the market available right now that are not currently running Fuchsia. Because Lenovo did confirm at CES that the Lenovo smart clock runs the Cast platform, just like the Home Hub does. So smart clock, Home Hubs, I think at least one or two others. We know over a fact, like for a fact, that Google is at least testing or has tested Fuchsia on. So yeah, but the addition of the Pixel 3 to that list, even though it wasn't, I mean, it's what support not independently or directly built first party by Google, is still pretty notable, I think. And it just even further goes to show that Google is really testing this on as many devices as possible.
And they have the developer interest for an entirely new operating system, which is one way to get it up and running.
Yeah, it's actually this guy who submitted the change is known in the Android Minecraft community as a developer of an app called Block Launcher, which lets you basically use mods, which for those familiar with Minecraft, mods basically in the older days basically let you know completely modify the entire experience of Minecraft, skins and stuff like that, shaders, and you could change the different items and, you know, everything in the game basically. But this guy built an app that lets you do that with the Pocket Edition of Minecraft, and he was the guy that submitted the change. So yeah, I mean, that's random, but interesting that there's enough hype around Fuchsia at this point that a notable Android developer is working on some things in the background.
Yeah.
Also, this month or this week, a much more notable story. You reported on it. Google has hired a very important Mac veteran.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us about that?
So last night, we spotted on LinkedIn that Google, that this 14-year Apple veteran who has a deep background in launching macOS software, before he moves to Google, he for 6 years led like software engineering teams, development teams to release macOS X, or macOS as it is now. He had a hand in releases from Lion to Mojave, and he worked on features like Find My Mac, AirDrop, iCloud for Mac. And basically, his skill set is very focused on launching operating systems and making sure there are no bugs, all the features work, all that developers can build their apps and frameworks and everything works perfectly. So, reading into this, this is an ideal candidate for Google if they're getting ready to launch Fuchsia, when they're ready to release it on actual consumer products.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, I mean, I think the most notable thing about this story is that this guy has no shame in saying that this is legit what he was hired to do. I mean, there are plenty of people on LinkedIn who list like building fuchsia or whatever on their LinkedIn profiles. But this guy came out and just posted straight up on LinkedIn. I quote, "I'm excited to share that this February I will be joining Google to help bring a new operating system called Fuchsia to market. Stay tuned." And that's pretty, I mean, that's pretty matter of fact. And obviously he's far more looped in on the status of development, status of timelines and stuff like that than we are. If he's been hired and he's this high level of a poach, he's got to know basically everything, yeah, right? Like you can't get a guy like this unless he knows exactly what he's getting himself into. And
yeah. It's when Fuchsia launches, it'll be very interesting to see what model it takes, whether it's more like Android or it's more like Chrome OS, whether major yearly releases or new ones every 6 weeks. But it's kind of interesting that rather than, if we watched who they hired from inside Google, we could probably see which side they're leaning towards. But they hired a completely new guy out up from the company. So still unknown.
One thing that's interesting is that I feel like coverage of Fuchsia has been extremely conservative for a couple of reasons. One being that I feel like we're the only blog on the web that's like specifically covering Google as a whole. And so a lot of Android sites that would normally be in the same realm as us in terms of coverage is they're kind of mostly ignoring Fuchsia. Mm. Another thing is rightfully so, and people aren't getting super hyped up about it because they're ignorant to the significance of the open source code that we've all seen and Kyle's dug through at this point, or, you know, Google definitely doesn't, I don't know, have the best track record with taking all of their skunk worksy projects and turning them into something that actually matters.
Yeah.
So, you know, rightfully so, people are not, I don't know, doesn't seem like there's much hype or there's much excitement about this, because I think people are like, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I guess I would also add that Google is right now so far ahead in terms of the next generation operating system discussion. We have not seen moves from Apple or Microsoft yet on what the future operating system is. Everybody is just iterating on their existing platforms, Windows, Mac, iOS, and we don't know whether the future is one unified thing or specific operating systems. So maybe that's another reason why we haven't begun what does a next generation operating system built from the ground up to account for mobile and constant connectivity looks like. So
yeah,
early days, as Google likes to say.
But all that said, I think that it's things like this where a huge, you know, very high profile poach happens and this guy immediately comes out and says, you know, I'm here to take Fuchsia to market. That's the kind of thing that makes people take Fuchsia more seriously.
Absolutely.
And as I noted on Twitter, there have been a lot of kind of conversations about like, well, Google's also really kind of unreliable and random when it comes to branding stuff too. And so people aren't super excited to start chatting about the Fuchsia name because it seems like this will just be another one of those things where it's a code name or, you know, a product name that doesn't end up meaning anything. One of many theories has been that Fuchsia is kind of an underlying system level overhaul of Android and that it will carry on. The Android name will live on while Google kind of uses or slowly replaces the underlying, you know, operating system with what it's building here. And I feel like, you know, we can't say for sure, but this kind of announcement that this guy made on LinkedIn seems to suggest otherwise. Mm. You know, I mean, to me, it's like he knows exactly what's going on. And he obviously is not coming out and saying Fuchsia is going to be its own thing and it is replacing Android. But he didn't say it's not. Mm. So I don't know.
Yeah, there's something there.
Something. Hopefully we'll, as with many other things, learn more in the coming weeks and months. I know Kyle was crossing his fingers for some kind of official debut at I.O., but I don't think that'll happen. My my theory is that Fuchsia will just kind of like halfway between being, you know, like a splashy release and this theory that it's going to be literally nothing and will just be an underlying layer of Android. Halfway between there is like, you know, it will launch on a product and it just won't be a big deal. And
yeah,
over time we'll see.
Also, you know,
us and Ron will know about it.
Also, Fuchsia might be technically brilliant, but as all things Google, it comes down to how they transition the existing users to a new platform. So,
yeah.
Transitions. That's...
yeah, transitions. That's been a theme. I think Pixel would be the first phone to do it if there was going to be a phone to do it.
Yeah, and...
because Google's already flexing its... we are not... you know, we are going to build things on top of Android that no one else has access to. They're flexing that even more every year, it seems. And, I mean, at one point that may culminate in we're not even going to use Android. Mm. And, you know,
yeah,
live with it.
And the if they put it on a phone first, the benefit is that the people update every 1 or 2 years, 3 years at max. So there is... there will always be people interested in buying a new phone. So that's a good replacement schedule kind of thing. But yeah.
Speaking of phones, let's round out the show with a really fun topic. A phone was announced, the Meizu Zero, today,
I'm here for this.
I am so here for this, and I know that you and I are both very much the minority with this.
Yeah.
By the way, especially in the Android community, but this phone has no ports. It's the first one, and I've been saying for years that it's inevitable, and people have not wanted to believe me because what about developers, or what about debug, or what about I don't know, wireless charging still sucks, and yeah, all these things are valid. Not to say that none of these arguments are invalid, but I think it's inevitable that. The prototypical phone is going to be a slab of glass and metal and no holes.
Yeah. I'm mostly here for this phone because there are no buttons, because buttons break. So it just makes it so much cleaner, so much more reliable. It's a very lovely thing.
I think we're going to see this on the Apple side of things sooner than people think.
Yeah.
We know from a Mark Gurman report as well that, you know, with the launch of the iPhone X, which launched like almost a year and a half ago now, even with that phone, which was in development for several years before its launch a year and a half ago. So, I mean, we're talking like 3 years, 4 years, maybe even 5 years if we go back to the very, very beginning. Even with that phone, Google, or Apple rather, talked about not having any ports and just ditching the Lightning. Meanwhile, now reports are coming out saying that Apple's going to move to USB-C, which that's a whole other. But anyways, this phone from Meizu, I totally want it just for the novelty.
Yeah, absolutely. That's about it. Just the novelty.
Yes, the novelty. I'm sure the software on it is terrible.
Yeah, it would be one screaming.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, what else is there? I think...
do you want to do a tiny second about this Chrome thing?
Sure, go for it.
So, Chromium... is proposing changes to extensions that at a high level would break how ad blockers work. So immediately cue the antitrust fears about Google abusing its position, Google killing Google as an ads company, wanting to kill ad blockers, and just all that. Everybody's screaming that. And
They're not wrong.
They're definitely not wrong. But I think it's fair to say that Google employees aren't malicious as much as they are naive about their approach to things. So I don't think they're setting out to kill ad blockers. I think what's happening is that they think that they think their new extensions platform is the future. It helps privacy. It makes sure extensions can't see what you're browsing all the time. And I think they have their privacy reasons. But of course, in the grand scheme, people will never truly believe that, and they'll just argue that Google is trying to kill ad blockers very simplistically. So,
meanwhile, Ghostery,
yes,
which you may know as an extension for Chrome and for other browsers that basically lets you see who and what is tracking you on any given website, which you may be surprised to find out that that's pretty much everyone and everything,
yes,
especially Google. Which, interestingly, Ghostery is owned by a company which is partially owned by Firefox. So,
the Mozilla,
in an indirect way, we're witnessing the ongoing argument between Google and Mozilla about privacy.
Yeah.
For those who are out of the loop completely, Mozilla tends to lean on anti-Google for more reasons than one, but, you know, probably the Apple side of privacy, the conversation at least. So, yeah, today Ghostery came out and threatened, where is it?
They threatened an antitrust complaint if Google were to proceed with these changes that cripple their ad blocker.
Right. And so, yeah, this is all developing today, though. So
yeah,
we don't really have significant thoughts on this yet, but maybe we'll next week.
And just know that everybody will be screaming this until the end of time, literally. So,
yeah.
Somebody is probably going to cave, and most likely than not, it's probably going to be Google with their changes.
Yeah, I think Google needs to be, for our sake, they need to be less careful with what they put in the Chromium and Android open source projects, because it gives us a lot of fun, awesome stories. But for their sake, I feel like they should maybe be a little bit more careful.
Yeah.
With that.
Yeah.
Anyways.
We'll be
monitoring
that's
it for the week.
The situation. Yes, this is.
Yes, we will be monitoring that situation and others. Until next week, you can tune into Alphabet Scoop here every week. We record this podcast every Wednesday afternoon and publish on Thursday mornings on your various and favorite podcasting platforms such as iTunes and Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Google Podcasts, Google Play Music, and you can also listen directly over at 9to5google.com. Thanks for tuning in, as always. Thanks to Abner for joining me, and hopefully our audio recording will be much better this week.
Yes.
So be sure to leave us feedback via email or on Twitter. Shout at us. Tell us how we're doing. Tell us how things are going. We'd love to hear it. See you next week.
Bye.